we're getting ready for our tithing message, we can drop the screen because right after that we got a video that I want to share with you. So today the tithing message comes out of 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. And I also want to challenge you to, be encouraging your family members today, because I believe that the enemy is trying to come after the Christian and trying to come after the family, and that's what I'm going to be talking about today. He has everything else. There's just two things left, the Christian and the family, and that's who he's targeting today. He's trying to separate, trying to isolate, trying to keep you from being involved in the community, being involved in your church. The true heroes are the people that show up. Somebody talk back to me. Amen. So listen to this. I kind of wanted to partner this with this video that we're going to be talking about, the 9/11 tragedy, as this is a tragedy as well. The Apostle Paul finally figures out that he's going to be going by the way of the grave. Probably a horrible death for speaking out about his faith. You know, If history repeated itself here, he would probably die a horrible death, maybe lit on fire, put on a pole, beheaded, something of that nature at the hands of a man named Nero. Nothing like persecution that's going on today, where we just call that, really, it's nothing more than an inconvenience sometimes. He says, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and who is appearing, and his kingdom. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Let me say it again. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. So the reason we go to Bible study, we go to men's retreats, we go to ladies' retreats, we go to church services, the reason we pray for one another is because we never know what could happen by the end of the day. Right after this video, you'll remember that, unfortunately. There has been attacks on America. We never would have dreamed that would have happened to us on our own soil. Whether it come in the form of horrible terrorists or a pandemic or people who are trying to harm us at this level, it's unimaginable. That's why the Apostle Paul is telling young Timothy, hey, I'm getting ready to go by the way of the grave, but you make sure that you're ready. You make sure that you're encouraged, and you make sure that you're encouraging your family and your church family, because there could be a real crisis to come, and we're just getting you ready today. Amen. So he says, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound doctrine, but have itchy ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passion. What that is now, Mark Fincher, we know that is church hopping. If we don't like what the preacher says, we go to another church, and hopefully down at that church he'll soft pedal the gospel so we won't be convicted of the way that we're living, so we just keep moving on and on. And then we develop our own system. Right now in this cancel culture and everything that's going on, if we don't like what's going on, we just cancel everything and try to reprogram and repackage. But you need to know this, that this country has been founded by Christian. It's been run on Christian principles. The documents that were drafted up are Christian documents, and they all derive their powers from the Holy Word of God. Can I get a witness in his house today? They will turn away from listening to the truth and wander into myths. And as for you, always be sober-minded, enduring suffering. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. For I am being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which is from the Lord. The righteous judge will award me on that day. Say that day. I told you it's 100% death rate on planet Earth. Everybody's going somewhere. You make up your mind today if you're going to choose Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, amen or not. Hey! I'm just getting warmed up. I'm ready to preach today, because I'll be honest, it's starting to make me ill. It's starting to make me ill who we have raised up as our heroes in America. Let me just say this. It don't have political ties at all. It's just called something common sense. How about that? We don't use that word much because it may be politically incorrect. The heroes of society are people who contribute to the betterment of this union called the United States of America. That's doctors, that's teachers, that's preachers, that's moms, and that's dads. I'm doing real good by not watching sporting events anymore. Amen. I'm perfectly okay with it. Isn't anything on there I need to watch? And I won't get into that. But I can tell you who my true heroes are. And I'll just be honest with you, none of them are professional athletes. None of them. They're guys who are in the trenches that have fought for this country. I was at a men's retreat this weekend at my farm, and you could look around, and I think there was at least 6 Vietnam veterans that were at my men's retreat. And other wars, and younger guys that were in other wars. You want to talk about heroes? The people that keep this country free so you have a right to do the things you want to do. Those are the heroes of society. So what the Apostle Paul is, he's basically saying the things that I'm saying this morning. He said, you make sure that you continue to carry the banner. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only to me, but also to those who have loved his appearing. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we just pray today, Lord God, that we refocus and repackage our thinking and remember the true heroes in America. There are people who have fought. There are people who have fought and died. There are people who rescue people. Those are people who put their life on the line for the betterment and for the bigger picture than self. And we ask, Lord God, that you reveal yourself to each and every person gathered here in this sanctuary and the sanctuaries out there on live stream. In Jesus' name, his people said amen. Amen. Roll the video, collect the offering, and let God be glorified with applause. Hallelujah.
What is a hero? Every person is faced with a moment in their life where they have to choose to run from adversity or stand in its path and face it head on. That question could not be more clear than 9/11, when our first responders were met with an impossible choice: to run into burning buildings when everyone else was running away. And yet for them, it wasn't a choice. That moment came, and without question, without a moment's hesitation, they ran toward the fire, toward the danger, toward sacrifice. 2,977 lives were taken that day, 413 of which were first responders. 343 were firefighters. We honor you. 60 were police officers. We honor you. 8 were emergency medical technicians. We honor you. And the rest, 2,564, were mothers, fathers, daughters, sons, brothers, and sisters. In a day of tragedy, we saw more clear than ever what it means to be a hero. And we will never forget. God bless their sacrifice, and God bless America.
You can rise with me if you would. Let's pray for the word today. So, Father God, as the word goes forth for this sanctuary and the sanctuaries across America, maybe even worldwide today, that we remember our fallen heroes. We honor them as heroes, patriots, men and women of valor and courage. We ask, Lord God, along with our heroes in the Bible, that we stand with them, learn from them. We stand united by the blood of Jesus Christ and our flag, the red, white, and blue. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18, encouraging a family member. So, Lori, if I figured this out right, help me if I'm wrong, send me an email. If I can encourage my family member, whatever, if I have one or two or 16, and I'm a church-going attendee at a local church, and my family member gets involved, the church gets a little stronger. If you agree with that, just at a minuscule level, say amen. Amen. Just say, we're a little stronger, the church is a little strong. When you come, I come, and we all come, or live stream friends, or North, or campus, or whatever, we all come, we're a little stronger. When we leave, we're a little more encouraged. I had so many people come to me last night before I left, and they said, man, you were reading my mail, and all this kind of thing. I said, that's God affirming that you're in the right place, so you can hear the right message. Amen? Amen? And you come on your own free will. Nobody makes you. You're an adult. You come because you want to be here. Unless, like, you're 18 and under, your mom or your grandma or dad probably brought you and go, you're coming anyways. That's called a drug problem. That's what we had at our house. You got drug here. Amen? You just come anyways. I don't. Now it's different, and I won't ride this at all. I mean, it wasn't like it was even up for debate. I mean, you just knew you were going, and you wouldn't dare open your mouth. So, anyways, Ephesians 6, 10, verse through 18. So, there's three things before I need to have before I can encourage my family members. Three very simple things. I need to have the proper dress, proper thought, and the speech has to be correct. And by the time I get to the last one, I think I'll be ringing your bell. Ephesians 6, so I need to make sure that I'm dressed properly, and if I haven't told you this, just kind of like the firefighters, they had the hard hat and they have the suit so they don't get burned, and the boots that are probably, so you don't get shocked if you're standing in water or all this kind of thing. You're going to fight a fire, I got to make sure that everything lines up, my uniform lines up. So if we're going to go out and witness to our family members, our uniform has to be correct. Finally, brothers, be strong in the Lord and strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. So let me tell you something about the devil. Quit giving him so much credit. Everybody runs around mischitting and they go, oh, the devil, the devil, the devil. Quit giving him so much credit. A lot of the times when we do stupid things in our life, it's just because sometimes we have these moments in our lives where we just realize that we're humans and we just did something very silly, I'll call it. Just say human. Your wife probably said that. She said, why in the world did you do that, I guess? So we put on the whole armor and that we may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. The schemes of the devil, the schemes and the scams and the conniving and all these things come from the devil because that's what's in his DNA. And he creates illusions. He doesn't have the power to create because he's not a creator. He's a created being. And the only one who can create is God himself. He is the creator of all things. Somebody say amen. And I'm glad that I'm on his side, because if you're going to be on anybody's side, it might as well be the most powerful force in the world. Amen. So you guys remember it when you're picking teams for kickball or Red Rover. What's Red Rover? Oh, it's a game. It's life. How about King of the Hill? Amen? For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities and against the cosmic powers of this presence, against spiritual forces of heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened the belt of truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness, and the shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness of the gospel of peace. And I thought, man, what a great thing to bring back, Terry. Bring back the peace sign. Yeah, oh, peace, amen. Remember that? The peace sign was on everything, the bell bombs and the headband, and you kind of tie it, and it's like, oh, yeah. And even if you had a microbus or a bug, maybe it was painted on the side of your bug. Bring back peace. So in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in all times of the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. So this is the word of the Lord. Amen. Proper dress code. So I have to have all those things on. Turn with me into Colossians chapter 3. We're going to read verses 1 and 2. And so this will be the thought process. And I'll tell you what, sometimes, well, let's just read this and let's just talk about this for just a second. So I got the proper dress. I'm ready to go. I got all these things. I'm going to go talk to my friend or my family member who hasn't been to church in a while, hasn't been to Bible study. I got to make sure I got the proper dress, and I have to make sure that my thought process is correct. It says, if you then have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, which Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds. Say that with me. Set your minds. Okay. Set my mind on what? Right now, we set our mind on all the thing that's getting all the play, the unrest, the pandemic, all these different things. That's where our mind all is. Do you remember? Close your eyes for just a second, everyone in the sanctuary. Do you remember where you were on 9/11 when the Twin Towers were attacked? I want you to open your eyes. You never thought that could happen, so you start to think, how in the world could that happen? You go, I guess we are a little more vulnerable than we thought we were, and I guess we're not as tough and as strong as we thought we were, that we need help from heaven above. At that time, I remember being in church, and the churches filled up instantly. They were packed, and they stayed packed. I think they stayed packed for about a year or two. And then everybody got back into their life, and they thought, well, you know what? God fixed it. Now it's time for me to go back out there and do it on my own again. So I ask you some 19 years later, how's that working out for us? That's quiet, isn't it? You doing things on your own is destined to fail. But things built on the kingdom of God are designed to last forever. His church needs to get involved and say amen. So that's why I need to have my minds fixed on the things that are above, not on the things of the earth. And Matthew chapter 6 kind of talks about that a little bit. And maybe everything else isn't so important anymore. If we're wanting to get things fixed on earth, if we're wanting things to... For people to get healthier and all these different kind of things, maybe we need to get God involved a little bit more. Amen? So turn with me into Colossians 4:6. This one here could be the most powerful out of everything that I say today. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Let me read it again. Let your speech always be gracious. Say gracious. Gracious actually means to be kind and in favor. Grace means it comes from grace, which is favor. And we believe that when we become born-again believers, God's grace is on us and God's grace is on our country. Amen? Because it was founded on Christian principles. I need to make sure that I have the proper dress. I need to make sure that I have the proper thought process. And more than ever, I need to make sure that my speech is always gracious, seasoned with salt. So that you may now, you know how you ought to answer each person. Let's start with our family members. Why is it that we're so kind to everyone else and so short with everybody in our family? And I thought about that for just a second, and I thought, my wife would really be short with me if she knew how I did the laundry at the farm. Terry, I'm disclosing it today. Laura, listen to this. I don't know why these things come up in my life, and I think a lot of times I say these things so you guys will feel better about your life, and you'll come back again. There is no laundry soap at the farm. So, the hand soap that we use is sufficient for doing laundry as it is to wash your hands. I don't know why we have so many shampoos in the shower. Chris, I'm just being honest here. When I get ready to do laundry, just about any soap will do. Just cut you off a little corner and push the button. And if you don't have any soap, that's just fine too. So would my wife be? She asked me that this morning when I was getting ready. She goes, "Where's all your clothes at?" I said, "They're all at the farm. I do my own laundry out there." True story. And she, I'll get off this in just a second. She asked me, she says, "Do you hang them all up?" I go, "Absolutely not." Now applaud and I'll get on to the sermon. Amen. So here's what I'm trying to say about your speech. I know she wasn't happy to hear that I did the laundry. What would happen if God spoke to you the way you spoke to others? How about this for all you holy rollers? How about if God spoke to you the way you spoke to that person who cut you off on the highway? Looking around, everybody's like, "Man, I can't even believe you're bringing this up right now." The reason I'm bringing it up is because it's real time. When I'm in the hammer lane, and I'm in my big black truck, 1997 Ford F-350, 5-speed diesel. I don't see any reason to move out of the hammer lane because I own it from Bellflower, Missouri, all the way to St. Ann. And if he's coming up behind me, he's in my space, I got to let you know. Here's the deal. We need to speak to everyone the way God speaks to us. Loving and kind, because that's the way Christianity works, not only here in America, but all across the world. Christianity is not a religion of hate, contrary to popular belief. It is a Christianity that only, or Christianity is a religion that only works on love and the principles of love, because God is love. So we got all that right now, so you guys got all that digested. Proper dress, proper thought, proper speech. Now we're going to encourage. So we got all those things together. Now we're going to encourage our family members, and we're going to go to Ephesians, if you would. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8. Let's do 8 through 10. So this is how we encourage our family members. So we got everything going right in our life, and we're going to go up, and we're going to witness to our family members. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. It says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourself, your own doing. It is a gift from God, not a result of works, so that one may boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Say that with me, walk in them. One more time, walk in them. And we're supposed to do this regardless of how we feel. What would happen, picture this for just a second. What would happen if you went to God and today he said, you know what? I don't feel like handling your problems because I didn't get enough sleep last night. He told us to walk in them. So I'm going to ask you all to rise here real quick as I do these last couple of verses here. And I'm going to ask the deacons and the ushers to come forward. We can start to play our music here. Go ahead and turn that on. And then we have one other verse before we go. So listen to this again. For by grace, so I'm coming up to my family member that I haven't seen in a while. He doesn't come to church anymore. And I want to tell him about the grace of God. All right, I want to tell them about the grace of God, the favor of God. And the reason they have been saved or can get saved is not by the works that they've done or how good they are or any of that stuff. It is a gift from God. And if I was ready to hand you a gift or we're in Christmas and we got a bunch of presents, and they're all wrapped, and your kids go, you know what, Daddy? I changed my mind. I don't want any of those gifts. Wouldn't that be a tragedy? For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is a gift from God, not as a result of works, so that one can boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared before hand that we should walk in them. Let's turn that down just a little bit, Jackie, if you would. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 12, here's what it says. So here's what you tell your family member. So with yourselves, since you are eager for the manifestations of the Spirit, strive to excel in building up the church. So I want you to think about this for just a second. So if we're going to encourage our family members and encourage the church, we want them to use all these gifts that they have to build up God's kingdom. Amen? And I'm going to leave you with this last story. My daughter sent us a picture of a letter that this church she went to last Sunday. And I told you about it. It was a charismatic Pentecostal church. And she said, Dad, they just dance and sing. And they do church for 3 hours. They wrote her a letter. And they said, they mailed it to her college. And they said, we want you to know how happy we are that you came to our church this Sunday. And you say, well, what's so big about getting a letter? She was so encouraged that they encouraged her with that letter that she wanted to tell me and her mama how encouraged she was about this wonderful church down in Tennessee. And me and her mama were blessed in St. Louis by what the church is doing down in Tennessee. So we need to use these gifts to build everybody up. And I want you to be thinking about this. I want you to be thinking about this. I'll pitch this out to you. What can you do for God's kingdom? I don't know. Each one has his own gift, and it's cards, and it's letters, and it's prayer, and all these different things. But I believe everybody here today has a special place in the kingdom of God where they can encourage somebody. And it may be just a high five or a hug or a fist bump or whatever is appropriate right now. But don't not do it. I want you to do that today, is encourage somebody here today, encourage somebody online, encourage somebody you see today, you know, maybe even at the ice cream shop. I know everybody's going to eat ice cream when they leave here. Or no, that was me last night. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray for you. We're going to turn up the music, and then if there's something that you want to pray about or ask God to manifest this gift in your life, and you want to come down to the altar and you just want to pray and you don't want anybody around, we want to give you that time. I know there's a lot of times when you'd like to come to the altar and you go, I just want to come to the altar. So I'm going to pray for you. We're going to turn up the music, and then we're going to allow you an opportunity just to come down and just, you know, come down here and get before the Lord, okay? Let's do that together here today. So Heavenly Father, for all those gifts that are out here in this congregation and out there on live stream, I pray that you let that manifest. And I ask, Lord God, today, if there's somebody here who doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, that they'll receive the free gift of salvation that only you can give, just like it says here in Ephesians. And we want to pray and we want to believe, Lord God, that you're here with us. And we want to remember all our fallen heroes at 9/11, 19 years ago, and all our heroes that live amongst us right now, as we give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.